Christ Church. How's everybody doing? I hope everybody got to celebrate the freedom of our nation yesterday. Amen. But today, I'd like you to stand up. We're going to sing Christ is Enough. And He gives us our spiritual freedom.
No turning back, no turning back.
You can be seated.
Hey, good morning, Christ Church. Welcome. It's so good to see you all. So glad that you're here. My name's Chet. I am the West Campus pastor, but just glad to be with you today. And today, all of our campuses are tuning in online. So can we make some love for them? Make some noise. We got Old Brooklyn tuning in, West Campus tuning in. And can we just celebrate all of our online family this morning? Isn't it amazing that we can be all over Ohio, all over the United States, and still worship our great Savior together? What a blessing that is. My uncle told me yesterday, he said, I told my neighbor, she said, hi. I said, your neighbor, he lives in Michigan. And he said, yeah, I told her about church. She's been tuning in. I said, well, tell her I said hi. Never met her. But I realized I always make Michigan jokes. You know, talk about they're not saved and all that kind of thing. So I got, I got to watch it now. But hey, if you are tuning in, wherever you're tuning in from, even Pittsburgh, God still loves you. Amen. We're so glad you are part of Christ Church family. And if you're tuning in for the first time, would you take a moment and would you fill out our online connection card? We would love to know you and love to see how we can serve you and see what God is doing in your life. Hey, and if everyone could help me out and those online as well, just take out your phone and share this service. If you could, share it. We want people to know about Jesus, to experience him. Jovan's going to bring a great message this morning, and we want as many people as possible to hear it. So if you could share it, you can go ahead and do it right now. Share it on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, wherever. You're not with me on that. That's all right. I'm going to need a lot of help online then. Hey, and we want to thank you so much for your generosity as a church. It's been amazing to see the generosity of God's people during COVID-19. And as a church, we've been able to meet people's needs, feed them, help out with those who have lost jobs and all that. And it's because of you, church, and your generosity that we're able to be a blessing in a very, very difficult time. So thank you for that. Give yourself a round of applause for that. It's making a difference in people's lives. And there's two ways to give today. You can give online, ChristChurchOhio.org, or through our app. So take advantage of those opportunities. Thank you for being here. And would you just stand up as we continue to worship together? Thank you.
Oh, I worship you, yeah. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker,
Father, we are gathered together because you are the way maker. Lord, when we don't know how things work out, we trust and believe that you know how everything works out. So we're here to worship you. Our response is not trying to control, but knowing that you are in control of everything. So I pray for my brothers and my sisters that are in this room that are awaiting something to happen. They would be convinced in our service that it will happen because you are the way maker. You are a promise keeper. Even when we're stuck in the darkness, even when we're stuck in our depression, even when we're stuck in our loneliness, even when we're stuck in our anxiety, you show up and you be the light in that moment. So I thank you in advance. Bless our worship with one another. Bless our time. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be convinced only you are the way maker in our lives. In Christ's name is who we pray. Amen. Well, you may be seated, church. Well, good morning, Christ Church. Good to see you guys. Good to see you guys. I'm so happy to have you guys here. My name is Jovan. I am the student pastor here at Christ Church. Some of my students are in here right now. What's going on, guys? How you doing? Woo-hoo! Better show me some love. But hey, guys, I'm here to hang out with you guys. As a matter of fact, for the next 2 weeks, you got me. You got me. Our lead guy, Dave Collins, we know him as Doc. Doc is going to be taking some apps, taking a break, catching his breath, and he asked me to come up and hang out with you guys. So I said, of course, I get to hang out with some of my favorite people. So we are glad to have you guys here with us. And we're taking a break from the series that he was in, the peace series that he's going through. And we're going to do a series that I actually started with my students, but I decided to bring it up to you guys because I felt like, man, it was just as relatable to them and it could be relatable to us as well. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be in this series called What I Learned in Quarantine. Yes, you see that? What I Learned in Quarantine. That was a lot of us. Listen, trying to put on that quarantine 50 was hard. I mean, can I get an amen? I mean, it was hard, but you had to be squeaky clean trying to do it. And what we're going to be doing, and the purpose of this series, is for us to walk in the process of contentment. Because I can tell you right now, quarantine, because of quarantine, I was the opposite of content. I was the opposite of being content. And contentment that we want to try to earn and contentment that we want to try to learn is a process. And for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be studying this passage. We're going to be studying the concept of learning how to be content. Because I don't know if you know, COVID is resurging. Parts of our country are going back to quarantine. Parts of our country are going back and being and have curfews. And we're afraid that it's starting to make its way up to us. But what we want to learn today, that whether we're in it or out of it, we're content. We're in it, we're out of it, remain content. Again, I can just be honest with you. Quarantine has left me in a place of just straight desperation. Desperation. Maybe quarantine didn't affect you as much, but for me and my family, it has affected us greatly. I don't know if you guys know, my wife and I, we just recently purchased a home out in North Ridgeville. We're super excited about that home. But before we bought the house, of course, we had to house hunt. And around the time we were house hunting, COVID was hitting hard. Businesses left and right were shutting down. Things were going on. And my wife and I, we got to look for a house, you know. So here we are. We found this house, this beautiful house, not the one that we just bought. But we found this house and we were so excited, pumped up, perfect location, perfect space, backyard for the dog, for the kid. I mean, it was perfect. And then my realtor looks at me and says, hey, if you want this, you're going to need to put in an offer. So my wife and I were talking and I say to myself, well, I guess we just got to make an offer. So I told the realtor, put in an offer. And as soon as those words left my mouth, I got a text for my employer outside of the church telling us that they had to let us go because of COVID. Like, literally, put in an offer, you don't got a job. What? 75% of our income? Gone. And I remember seeing it at that place, and I remember saying that, and they walked away, but I was like frozen, and I said, how am I going to be able to provide? As a matter of fact, that place of how I remained for a very long time. You ever just get to a how moment? Camped in a how? How am I going to be able to provide for my family? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to, how is it? How is that? And I'm camped in a how, and my fear and my anxiety, they're beginning to grow, and they're going crazy because I'm camped in a how, and I'm asking the questions, and I'm just saying to myself, I don't know how. But then I went from how, and I graduated to why? Why am I going through this? Why does 2020 have to start off like this? Why this and why that? Have you ever got stuck in the place of why? You went from how, and now you go from why. And the reason why you're asking those things is because there's a great need. And you're trying to figure out, is it going to work out? Is it going to work out? Am I going to be able to? How? Because we have this great need. All of you have needs today. You're a needy person. We all have great needs in this room today. And some of those needs, when we take a step back, we just say, I don't know how. I don't know why I'm the one that's got to go through this. Why and how? And I soon realized when asking those questions, I started to lose perspective. I started to forget. What did I forget? I forgot who is in control. And the only way I was able to gain perspective was when I started asking the right questions. I graduated from how to why, and I got to a point, I says, what do you want me to learn, God? What do you want me to do? If you are the God who I worship every single week, the God that I tell my students, the God that I tell the congregation, if you are that God, I know that you are the one who will make sure I am taken care of. And if I know I'm going to be taken care of, I don't have to stress with the how. I don't have to stress with the why. If anything, because I'm a follower, I ask God, what do you want me to learn right now? Because I believe this. It's not about what we go through. It's about what we learn from what we go through. Don't be so fixed on problem when we aren't understanding the process. But what does God want me to learn? What does God want me to do? And so for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be stuck on this passage, and we're going to be understanding the place of contentment and how you and I need to learn how to access that more and more and more. Because if we get so caught up trying to get this to look right, but we aren't right, ooh, it don't matter what you got, how much you got, where you got it, you're still lost. You're still lost. Doesn't matter if you get furlough. Doesn't matter if you get a pay cut. Doesn't matter if they cut 10%. Doesn't matter if they cut 25%. Doesn't matter if you're jobless. We're going to learn the place that needs the spotlight is in here. What goes on in here? And I've been stuck on this passage for the last 2 weeks. Not 2 weeks. Last 4 weeks, I should say. Ask my students. They're probably like, know this passage by heart. I've gone over this passage over and over. And I've gotten from this passage this idea that God wants us to learn how to be content. Quit trying to get this in order when you yourself are not in order. Because we can get so fixed on circumstance that we're missing our character. And I want to take a couple of weeks to talk to you about the process of contentment. So turn with me, if you have your Bibles. Anybody actually have their Bibles? Not the one that lights up on the screen. There you go. Going to heaven. That's my mama. Anybody else? It's in the Bible, folks. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 to 13. And we're going to learn what it means to be content. There you go. Dom's got it too. I love it, brother. So chapter 4, verse 10 to 13. But I got to give a little context about this. The Apostle Paul, this great missionary, is writing this letter to the church that he had founded, that he had started. But where Paul is writing is super important. Paul's in prison. Not because he's a criminal. Paul didn't do anything weird or wrong. Paul's in prison. I don't know about you, but quarantine felt like a prison. Felt like prison some points in moments of my life. Some of you laugh because it felt like a prison for me. And Paul's in prison, but not only is Paul in prison, it's not the prison that these our American system, the American prisons are like, where you get fed three times a day. No, Paul's in a Roman prison. And in this Roman prison, it's dark, it's dirty, it's overcrowded. And in order for him to eat, he has to wait for outside to provide and to give him what he needs. And not only is that, Paul is chained to a guard 24/7. I was chained to my family 24/7. But 24/7. When the guard moves, Paul moves. Paul's in a desperate situation. It's in a desperate moment. But we're going to learn there's something about Paul. There's a calm about him. There's a calm. We're going to learn that doesn't look good, but I'm good. That don't look right, but I'm all right. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 to 13. I'm going to start off like this. It says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now, this word rejoice, it's the common theme of Philippians. If you take time and you read it, he says it like 11 or 12 times. How can a man in prison have so much joy? How can a man talking to people who are free tell them to have joy? Paul is freer than them. Paul is freer than them. Joy is the theme of this letter. And he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. Why is Paul rejoicing? What is Paul excited about? Let's read about it. Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord because, once again, you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but you lacked the opportunity to show it. Now, to help you understand, this church that Paul is writing to, they helped funded Paul's missionary work in the beginning, right? Paul started the church, and then they were providing for him. They were giving to him. This was a church that had very little resources, but they still decided to help him throughout. And then Paul ended up in prison. That's why he says, you were concerned about me. And this church is trying to figure out, well, Paul, how are we going to be able to help you? We ain't got the resources like that. How? How? And maybe Paul got to a point where he was like, I don't know how either. How? But at once they were able to send him this gift. Now, we don't know if this gift is a financial gift, is it food, or whatever it may be. We know that this church was able to send Paul something. And Paul's sending a thank you letter telling them, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that once again you have renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but you lacked the opportunity to show it. Now, the next part kills me. The Bible is comical. Read the Bible more than once a week. You're just like, it's crazy how hilarious the Bible is. Paul says, thank you for the gift, but I don't need it. Can you imagine somebody writing you a letter back after you give them a gift saying, thank you, but I actually don't need this? I'd be like, well, give it back. You don't need it. But give it back. Paul says, not that I am in need, Paul says, whether you gave me the gift, I was good. Whether they give me the raise, I'm good. If they don't do it, great. If they don't do it, if they forgive me, if they don't say they're sorry, I'm good. Because Paul points to this first point I want you to know. Paul says that our situation doesn't regulate our satisfaction. That what's going on out there doesn't stop what's going on in here. Paul says, I'm good. I'm good. Whether you gave me this gift or not, I'm good. Look at the person next to you and tell them, I'm good. No, tell them, I'm good. Whether you say that you love me, whether you say you're there for me, whether you leave me, at the end of the day, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need it. Why is Paul at this point? Well, let's continue to read. Paul says, I don't say this out of need, for I have, what does that say? Learned. Uh-oh, y'all thought I was just going crazy. The Bible talks about it. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances that I am in. If you have your Bible, I need you to circle that word, whatever. Point at that word, look at that word, study that. He says, whatever circumstances I am in, I learned to be content. Whether that my family is there or not, I'm content. Whether I have this or I don't have that, I'm good. Because my life is not regulated by the outside, it's what goes on the inside. Paul says, I'm good. I'm at peace. He continues on in verse 12. He says, I know both how to make do with a little. I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, there it is again. I have what? Learned. Paul says, I had to go to school. I had to go to school so I can know. And now that I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry. I love that Paul says, whether I got filet mignon or ramen noodles, don't matter. He says, whether I'm well-fed or I'm hungry, whether in abundance or in need. And everybody knows verse 13. If you've been a Christian for a while, you probably know this off the top of your head. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul helps us to understand that he's good because he knows that God will provide. He says, I'm good because at the end of the day, God will provide. Now, this contentment Paul has, it's not a contentment that he has, that he's found in himself. Paul's not saying, I'm self-sufficient, and neither is Paul trying to say, I'm people-sufficient, but rather, I'm Christ-sufficient. Contentment is not having everything that you want, but saying Christ is all that I need. This contentment is not in himself. It's not in anything else. But he's saying at the end of the day, well-fed, starving, full belly, reaching out my hand, asking for more. He says, I'm good. I'm content. Because at the end of the day, Christ is all that I need. Christ is my provider. And I had to realize in quarantine, Christ, he is my provider, not Donald Trump. Trump, thank you for the stimulus check, but I didn't need it. I didn't need it. I'm good. I didn't need it. I'm good. Whether I get it or I don't get it, Christ will take care of me. Christ will take care of me. Paul knew God would provide for him. God will provide for him. So I want you to understand this first thing I want you to do this week. This is what we're focusing on. Contentment begins with a confident awareness that God supplies all our needs. Contentment begins not in you, not in your job, not in your education, not in your experience. No. Paul says contentment begins with a confident awareness, God will provide every one of my needs. My financial needs, my personal needs, physical needs, God will provide. I love this quote by one of my favorite authors, John Piper. He says this, those who are in Christ or those who have this loving relationship with Jesus, walking with Jesus daily, every single day, God himself commands or commissions himself to protect and provide for his children. God takes on the responsibility as a faithful parent to take care of his children. God commands himself to do what he only can do, which is provide for you. God commands himself to do that. I love the way they break this down. They say God appoints and orchestrates everything to accomplish his greater purpose. Because at the end of the day, God is in charge of the details of our lives. God is in charge. Listen, you have 10,000 needs, and God is taking care of every single one of them. You have 10,000 needs. And you're only probably aware of three of them. But God has said, I take care of every one of your needs. God is in charge of the details of my life, the good and the bad, the positive and the negative. He has ordained, listen, he has ordained not only what happens to us, but when it happens, how it happens, where it happens, what happens before it happens, and what happens after. And Paul was convinced. Church, you don't know how. I don't know how. But I know the God who fills the how. I know the God who knows what I need. Did you know that before you ever faced the need, God knew that you would face it? Think about that. Before you, but listen, God knew. He knew. He knew you were going to lose your job. He knew you were going to be in financial debt. He knew those things. But this is what makes him God. God knows the need before you ever met it. And God had a purpose for that need when you met it. And because he is God, and he's all powerful, and he's almighty, and he's everlasting, and he's strong, God had a purpose for that need to fulfill it. And his mighty right arm will make sure it will prevail. God knew the need before you faced the need. He knew it, but guess what? He had a plan for it. And not only did he have a plan for it, God's powerful right arm makes sure it happens. So I'm good. God knew I was going to lose my job. God knew. He knew. He knew it. But guess what? He knew what to do after it too. And he's so powerful that he will make sure his purpose in that will happen. Because church, nothing happens by chance. Not with God. Nothing happens by chance. There's a couple things I want you guys to understand about God providing for you. Because when you hear that, it sounds cliche at some points. Right? Sometimes that's like the last thing you want to hear. God will provide. Well, guess what? He ain't doing it now. But it helps for you and I to break down what did that actually mean so that we can correctly worship him, so that we can correctly serve him and serve our families and live the life that he has called us to live. Because I believe if you're still breathing, you still got purpose. You still got work to do. So instead of being fixated on what's going on, be fixated that God will provide and you can do what you are called to do even in that moment. Point number one. God provides differently than we expect. Now, I need you to understand this. One of the dangers of Christianity, when you become a Christian, is that we put our expectations on God that doesn't match his character. That happens. I know I do it every single day. We try to tell, okay, God, I want you to do this. I want to get this raise. I want to make $80,000 a year. I want to have a pension. I want to have this. And then I want to have this house. Then I want to have that. And really what we're doing is we're forcing our agenda on God. And really our agenda becomes an idol. And we worship what we want him to do rather than himself. So we got to realize God will provide, but he provides different than we expect. I mean, think about Paul. Paul, the church supported him in his missionary work, but then another need came up. And the church was like, well, I just don't know how we're going to be able to help Paul. But Paul was able to say, yeah, but God knows how to do what he needs to do. God provided for Paul in a different way. And sometimes God provides for you and I in different ways as well, too. And the one thing we got to realize, when it comes to trusting God, we have to realize God promises to supply your need, but never your greed. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I hit a nerve? God promises to provide your needs, not your greed. Because sometimes if I'm not careful, I will pray a prayer asking God to give me a life where I don't have any needs. When in essence, I'm asking God to give me a life where he's not necessary. And God will never honor that. God will never honor that. Because listen, God providing doesn't mean it's prevention of problems. You and I will face that every single day. But God's going to provide, but we just can't force our agenda on him. We have to trust in his wisdom. Part of trusting in God to provide is him providing what I actually need. Which means this, if God didn't do it, that means I actually didn't need it. If God didn't give me the raise, maybe I just really didn't need the raise. Why? Because he's all wise. He's all sufficient. I trust in his wisdom. And friends, sometimes we got to be like Paul in this moment. Because Paul was sitting in this prison, having to wait. And the one thing about God providing is sometimes you're just going to have to be patient. I know I just cursed in church. I apologize. You're going to have to be patient. Nobody likes to hear that word. You're going to have to be patient. But I can promise you this. God would never allow a waiting season to become a wasted season. Why is that? Because he is faithful. You walk with the Lord long enough, you'll find out that he's faithful. My contentment is anchored because of his faithfulness. I've seen God move in my life before. Why won't he move in my life yet again? I've seen God do it through my friends. I've seen God do it through my neighbors. I've seen God do it through so many people. And if he did it for them, guess what? He'll do it for me too. Because he is a faithful father. Even when you're reckless, even when you're faithless, even when you're dysfunctional, God says, I promise to be faithful. Because that's just who I am. That's just who he is. That is who you are. That is who you are. God is faithful. Point number two. And I want you to understand this one. I'm going to go over this one quick. God's responsibility is outcome. Yours is obedience. Serve the moment. Quits being so focused on the future. You and I get so fixated on tomorrow that we forget about today. We get so focused on God do this, God do that, God do that. And God says, that's great, but what about today? Because God is the God of tomorrow, but he's also the God of today. Stop serving tomorrow and start serving today. Look at Paul. Paul is in prison. And we know out of this prison, he wrote many letters. So Paul didn't sit there and resent or complain. He served his assignment. He didn't focus on problem because he had a purpose. Paul decided, he said, listen, if I can't share the gospel out there, then man, I'm going to share it right here. He actually talks about that in chapter 1. He says, what has happened to me? Yes, my imprisonment has actually served to advance the gospel. And as a matter of fact, there are more people being saved in here in prison than there are out there. Because Paul decided to serve the purpose, not the problem. Here's what I want you to do. Let's do a little practice. You ready? If that's you watching online, I want you to practice this with us. Everybody's included. Repeat after me. Say this. God, I trust you with tomorrow. Help me to serve today. I trust you with tomorrow, but you are sufficient for today too. Because sometimes we get so fixated on what he's going to do instead of fixated on what you need to do. I remember asking God for that advancement one time. God said, that's great. I'm happy you have this hope in me. But what about your wife? You're so focused on what you want. You're not focusing on what's in front of you. What about your family? Jesus says it best. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. You know what Jesus is saying? If you focus on the right things, I'll take care of everything else. If you focus on the kingdom, what's the kingdom? Your family. Your character, your children, your job, your reputation. God said, if you focus on the right thing, then I'll take care of everything else. Quit trying to do my job. God says, get out the way. Get out the way. You lost your way because you think you knew the way. Get out the way. God's responsibility is outcome. My responsibility is obedience. Point number three. Some seasons, God provides more of himself because my ultimate need is him. We have to stop boxing God into what God gives me instead of who God is to me. Because God is more invested on who he is to you than actually what he gives you. Because at the end of the day, God wants to be our source. And we need to accept that we need his presence more than performance. We need his presence more than anything else. God, at the end of the day, I may not have the things that I think I need, but at the end of the day, my ultimate need is more of you. I need to be at your feet, because at your feet is the presence is what I need. I'm nourished. I'm renewed. I'm refocused. I need God more than anything else. I need God more than that raise. I'm sorry. It hurts. I need God more than that. I need that Ryan home. I need God more than that. I need his presence more than anything else. God wants to be the source of your life, not the resource. Not a resource, but the source. Because if God is your source, you never lack supply. If Jesus is your source, you never lack supply. He's my ultimate need that I have to have in my life. Friends, I want you to take some time out during this time. Stop being so busy and start making room for him. Your busyness is the reason why we're anxious. You get caught up in 1,000 different things. You give work more attention. I give work more attention than I give God. And at the end of the day, my work can't do for me what my God can do for me. So I need him more than anything else. Last but not least, I want to go over this last point. This point I'm excited to talk about. Point number 4, God's ultimate provision has been already given through the gospel. He's provided for me already what I need, salvation. My security is not in my education. My security is not in my credit score. My security is not in my reputation, but rather my security is in the fact that I've been saved. My security is in my salvation. The fact that God of heaven left the splendor of earth, came down in the likeness of man, removed from his glory, but maintaining his divinity, took upon something that I would need for eternity, which is life. My life is not centered around on what he gives me, but centered around what he's already given me, his life, so I can be raised to a new one. The fact that I was dead and gone, the fact that I was in the pit of hell, the fact that I was dysfunctional, I still have my moments, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but the fact that I was in those moments, God decided to leave the 99 because the 99 was safe, and he came and chased after me and says, I choose you. That's the great thing about Christianity. I don't have to work to get God. God says, I'm coming after you. I choose you. So if God never does another thing in my life, that's all right because he chose me. Because my greatest treasure is Jesus Christ. My greatest treasure, that's what contentment is all about. What do you treasure? Things? Approval? People? I treasure the fact that God chose me to be a part of his family. And my security is my salvation. I want you guys to realize God will provide. If this COVID comes back and we're quarantined again, if it gets worse, God's going to provide. Whether they approve another stimulus check or not, God's going to provide. God's going to provide. If you take another cut at work, God's going to provide. He's going to provide. I want to end in prayer. And in this prayer, I want you to soak in, God, I'm going to get out of your way, so you can make the way. Heavenly Father, I come before you. And I ask that you would do what only you can do. And I trust in your wisdom. I trust in your sovereignty. I trust in your purpose to do what only you can do, which is to provide for me the needs. So God, I come to you today. I'm sorry that I've lost perspective. I'm sorry that I've gotten in your way. But would you help me to see that you've made a way? So Christ, you're before me. You're before me. You're leading the way. You're setting the path. And I thank you in advance in your wonderful and perfect, majestic name. Help me to see what I need to see. I've gotten it all wrong. I'm trusting in myself. I'm not enough, but you got more than enough. So I come before you and I ask that you would just continuously show me you got this. And God, since you got it, I'm good. In Jesus' perfect name is who I pray. Amen.
Show me who you are and fill me with your heart. shaken.
Hey, can we give Jovan a great round of applause for an awesome message? Hey, we just want to end today. God will provide for all of our needs. But before you can trust him as a provider, you have to trust him as your savior. And the reality is that our greatest need is that we're sinners, we're far from God, we're broken, we're messed up, and we need the forgiveness that Jesus Christ came to give and to die for us. And so if you've never trusted Christ as your savior, if you're watching online and you've just never committed your life and said, I need you, I need your salvation, I need your love, I need your help, then I want you to just pray with me. So would you bow your heads? Father, we want to trust you this morning as our savior. Father, we want to trust you as our provider also. Father, we acknowledge that we're broken, that we're helpless, that we're lost without you, but you have all that we need. That our greatest needs were taken care of 2,000 years ago when you died and rose again. And Father, it wasn't easy to do that. It cost you more than we could ever know. And so, Lord, we trust that that was enough. And we trust that today, whatever is before us, there is more than enough grace to help us. So we acknowledge you as our Lord, as our Savior. We commit our lives to you. We receive by faith your forgiveness and your leadership into our life. And we do all this through the majestic name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here, church. If you would just stay where you're at while the ushers dismiss you, the Lord bless you. We'll see you next weekend.